For an industry already facing challenges such as job insecurity and unpredictability, a new study published last month analysing work patterns, income and well-being in the United Kingdom indicates that the arts and cultural sector is facing yet another challenge concerning depression. We're joined today by Dr. Solange Galassa from the University of Melbourne, who participated in the research to talk about how these factors may have affected women in the performing arts. Solange, are you there? How's it going?
Hi, Jared. Lovely to have you.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for joining the show. So first off, I will ask, the study is focusing on women within the arts and cultural sector. Is the industry significantly seeing more women than men being affected by this? And I suppose, why is that the case?
Yeah, so this study that you've been discussing was it was headed by the Centre for Performance Science at the Royal College of Music and Imperial College in London. But we've also, it's in collaboration with McGill University in Canada and the University of Melbourne here in Australia. So we were collecting data from Australia, from Canada, from the UK, the USA and New Zealand as well. And what we found is across the board, so this was mainly to do with performing artists. And we were looking at men and women. And what we found was, no surprise to anyone, of course, that there was a huge reduction in the amount of work available. 96% of performing artists, lost their jobs or were spending less time performing, less teaching, of course. And this had ramifications for their financial, spaces as well. And over half of them consider themselves now to be in financial hardship. So that's a really big hit. Now, on top of that, of course, that then, flows on to people's health and well-being. And there was, a huge hit to people's well-being. Over 85% of people in the performing arts sector felt more anxious. There was more loneliness. And obviously people were feeling depressed as well. So across the board, male, female, young and old, we were seeing this play out. What, again, is not going to come as any surprise to anyone is that this was particularly significant in terms of our female populations, in terms of anxiety and depression. Why we think this may be the case, and of course we're somewhat unsure, but there may be several factors to this. One may be because of the loss of social interaction that occurred during lockdown, and this tends to affect women more than men. And of course, one of the big things, and I'm a working mum, I had four kids at home during lockdown, that we experienced in Melbourne, we had that really long lockdown. And what we know, of course, from other research is that, unfortunately, women still bear the brunt of the child-rearing responsibilities and the housekeeping responsibilities. And so across all sectors during lockdowns, we did find that women were performing significantly more of those types of duties, and therefore that was then having knock-on effects on their mental well-being.
I see. Is there any disparity, I guess, in kind of age brackets then as a result? I would maybe those in their early to mid-20s that are probably less likely to have kids. Was there a disparity then in maybe their mental well-being?
Well, interestingly, what our research found was that older age was actually associated with better mental health and social well-being.
Right.
So they scored higher in well-being and social connectedness scores and had lower depression and loneliness scores. So there seems to be something, and again, this is in a very specific sector, so I wouldn't want to generalise across the board, but in this sector, it seems to be that older age was a mitigating factor. There was greater resilience to these kinds of situations, whereas the younger age brackets seem to be faring worse. One of the reasons, and this is something that I think is really important from this type of research, is that we noticed that there was a really strong negative effect on people's sense of identity. So when we think about the performing arts sector, it's one of those professions where people have a really strong sense of identity. I am a dancer, I'm a musician, I'm a punk artist. This is part of their sense of identity.
Yeah.
So when we see the sector decimated and almost, you know, ceases to exist for a certain period of time, with that comes a sense of that loss of identity. And it's possible that in our younger age group, even those perhaps without children or without other caring responsibilities, that really hit them hard. Whereas perhaps in the older age bracket, they were more able to ride that wave, and they had a greater sense of other aspects of identity that come through, you know, the lived experience of living.
Yeah, for sure. I can imagine, like, I'm in my kind of early to mid-20s now, and I, you know, the anxieties of life and trying to figure out who you are and this, that, the other, although I'm not a performer as such, I can only imagine that that would be kind of an influence. But was there any kind of research that took place, or I guess results prior to COVID-19?
Yeah, so we have been looking at musicians' mental, physical health for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm pleased you brought that up, because, you know, there are things that we found did help in these situations, you know, what we call mitigating factors. And one of them was physical health. So, you know, we often think about performers as being artists, and that has more of a sort of a loose creative sense to it. But these are highly skilled, highly trained experts in their field, a bit like our sports stars. These are people who spend thousands of hours, you know, perfecting their craft. And what we found was that the people who maintained or developed physical activities during these lockdowns scored much better in terms of depression scores, anxiety scores, general well-being. And so it's really important. You know, we knew this previously, but we've seen it play out in COVID even more starkly, that providing performers and artists with, you know, research and the ability to be able to maintain and develop their physical health is really important. We also know that giving people access to health and well-being support is vitally important, and we know this across the board, of course, and also the ability for them to be able to maintain their professional skills. That was one of the concerning things in this research as well, is that not only were people not performing or getting work, but in many cases they weren't able to keep practicing, to keep maintaining their skills, either because they didn't have access to the facilities they needed, or because they didn't have access to the, I suppose, the objects they needed, or they couldn't, you know, perform trumpet for 6 hours a day because their neighbours would have, you know, gone mad. And so there was this sense that, you know, we have to be very careful and provide these supports, because, you know, it's possible that, you know, the long-term ramifications for these performing artists is going to be dire if they're not able to keep up those professional skills. And that's where, I suppose, we come in. We're trying to find creative and novel ways of being able to provide them with opportunities to do that, for example, through harnessing immersive technologies or new digital ways of doing that.
Sure thing. Just very quickly then, just to finish this one off, not sure, obviously, because the research didn't go into it, but maybe just from what you've seen, maybe just circumstantially or alike, although this study, again, based in the UK, have we, or can you imagine there would be certain issues that reflect this domestically within Australia, and particularly Australian women?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So again, we have the data from the Australian cohort that we interviewed, and we're actually doing a follow-up study that's coming up in the next couple of months, so a year on from that first study. And what's going to be really interesting for us is to be looking at various aspects of the demographics of Australia. So unlike the UK, although they've had slight differences as well, there was a homogenisation of what happened in the UK in that initial lockdown. For us, we had Melbourne and then we had the rest of Australia.
Yep.
And Melbourne really went through a very hard lockdown, one of the hardest that the world has seen,
sure,
which other aspects of Australia didn't. So we're going to be looking at that. And then, of course, in that data, it's going to be very interesting for us to see whether we get similar effects in terms of the female population. And we expect that we will.